Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Dana Balaba Yirvanadari. Gopi Dana Balaba Yirvanadari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tiha Vanachari Jamuna Tiha Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Dana Balaba Yirvanadari Gopi Dana Balaba Yirvanadari Sodanandana Braja Dhanaranjana Yasodanandana Braja Dhanaranjana Jamuna Tiha Vanachari Jamuna Tiha Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Dana Balaba Yirvanadari Gopi Dana Balaba Yirvanadari Jasoda Nandana Braja Dhanaranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Dhanaranjana Jamuna Tiha Vanachari Jamuna Tiha Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramhamsa Parabhadakacharya Asajara Siddhu Shri Shriman His Divine Grace, Shri A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Raj, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Kor Premanande, all glorious to the Assam devotees, all glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga, Namo Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasadai Vidaya, Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tanamane, Namaste Saraswatam Deve, Gauravani Bajarne, Nirvise Sarasunivari Paskatya Des Darne. Oma Ganatvanandasya Gananjana Salakaya, Chaksu Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha, Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam, Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam, Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivasakam Svitamscha, Hey Krishna Karna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Brindavaneshri, Prishubhana Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye, Panchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha, Patitanam Vavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitinanda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastati Gaur Bhaktivrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 8, Chapter 12, Mohini Murti Bewilders Lord Shiva, Text Number 5. Adi Antao Asya Yat Madhyam Idam Anyat Aham Bahi Yataha Avyayasya Na Etani Tat Satyam Brahma Chit Bhavan Adyanta Vasya Yanmadyam Idam Anyaraham Bahi Tutovya Yasya Naitani Tat Satyam Brahmachit Bhavan Adyanta Vasya Yanmadyam Idamanyar aham bahi Tato vyayasya naitani Tat satyam brahmachid bhavan. Adi, the beginning. Antao, and the end. Asya, of this manifested cosmic, of this manifested cosmos, or of anything material or visible. Yat, that which. Madhyam, between the beginning and the end. The substance. Idam, this cosmic manifestation. Anyat, anything other than you. Aham, the wrong mental conception. Bahi, outside of you. Yataha, because of. Avyasya, avyayasya, the inexhaustible. Na, not. Etani, all these differences. Tat, that. Satyam,
the absolute truth.
Brahma,
the supreme.
Chit,
spiritual.
Bhavan,
your lordship.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The manifest, the unmanifest, false ego, and the beginning, maintenance, and annihilation of this cosmic manifestation all come from you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because you are the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Absolute Spirit Soul, the Supreme Brahman, such changes as birth, death, and substance do not exist in you. Purport, according to the Vedic mantras, Yato va imani bhutani jayante. Everything is an emanation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita, 7.4, Bhumirapalo vayu kamano buddhi evacha ahankara iti yame dina prakritir ashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, altogether these eight comprise my separated material energies. In other words, the ingredients of the cosmic manifestation also consists of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This does not mean, however, that because the ingredients come from Him, He is no longer complete. Purnasya purnam adaya purnam eva vishishate. Because He is a complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from Him, remains a complete balance. Thus the Lord is called avyaya, inexhaustible. Unless we accept the Absolute Truth as achintya beta beta, simultaneously one and different, we cannot have a clear conception of the Absolute Truth. The Lord is the root of everything. Aham adhirahi devanam. He is the original cause of all the devas or demigods. Aham sarvasya pravava. Everything emanates from Him. In all cases, nominative, objective, positive, negative, and so on, whatever we may conceive of in this entire cosmic manifestation is in fact the Supreme Lord. For Him there is no such distinctions as this is mine and this belongs to someone else, because He is everything. He is therefore called avyaya, changeless and inexhaustible. Because the Supreme Lord is avyaya, He is the Absolute Truth, the fully spiritual Supreme Brahman. Adyanta vasya yanmadyam idam adyat aham vahi yato avyasya naitani tatsatyam brahmachid bhavan. The manifest, the unmanifest, false ego, and the beginning, maintenance, and annihilation of this cosmic manifestation all come from you, Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because you are the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Absolute Spirit Soul, the Supreme Brahman, such changes as birth, death, and substance do not exist in you. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Puristai Buddhaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminti Namane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vajarane Nirvisesa Shunyavadi Paskatya De Satarane. Lord Shiva is giving his realizations and his appreciations of Lord Krishna. We also have to try to understand this philosophy, because generally we can appreciate someone if we know how great they are. But Krishna is so great that it is actually sometimes difficult for the conditioned soul to conceive of Him or even to appreciate Him. Even 5,000 years ago, Krishna mentioned, Avijananti mamuda manushim tanum ashityam param bhavam ajananto mamavyayam anuttama. That the fools, they think I've descended like a human being. Therefore they deride me, because I've come in a human-like form. They don't know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. If we don't know how, for instance, Krishna has expanded Himself as the Purusha avatars, we don't know from Krishna comes Baladev, from Baladev comes the quadruple expansion of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, and Pradumya. From them come the Narayan features. From Narayan comes the second quadruple expansion. From the second quadruple expansion comes the Mahasankarshan. From Mahasankarshan comes Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, or Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and then finally Shiradakshaya Vishnu, who's in everyone's heart. If we don't know how great Krishna is, when he comes as a cowherd boy, we think he's just maybe a more important cowherd boy than we are, maybe a little bit more powerful. But after all, he's not, he's just practically like a human being. And, or we may think that this is just mythological, that Krishna, he opened up his mouth, and Mother Jasoda looked inside his mouth and saw all the universe. This is nice stories to tell to children, something interesting. If we don't know factually how Krishna is controlling the minute and the unlimited and the gigantic cosmic manifestation, we might think that Krishna is either mythological, someone ordinary, or something is higher than him. There's so much speculation about Krishna. Therefore, Krishna, as it says by the demigods when he came and was in the womb of his mother, that unless Krishna himself personally came and displayed his transcendental activities, then people would simply speculate what is the nature of the absolute truth. The material world is more or less based on speculation. Therefore, we have to not only understand how Krishna enacted pastimes 5,000 years ago, but we also have to understand how great Krishna is in every respect. And this way, when we hear about Krishna's activities, as he comes down from his unlimited platform of opulence, not exactly comes down, but as he displays his affectionate relationships with his loving servitors in Vrindavan, that although he's the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, still he can enact pastimes as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan and simply reciprocate affectionate relationships, we can appreciate Krishna even more. But here it mentions there are many theories, and one of the theories is the impersonalist theory. More or less, the Western world is, the primary philosophy in Western world is impersonalism. They think that God has expanded himself in so many different forms, and that somehow or another he got lost in the process. Whatever was the source of the cosmic manifestation, it kind of dissipated out when it expanded, and that was the end of him, and now everyone's left on his own. And everyone's struggling, trying to figure out how to make it on his own, but if they're really strong, they'll do it. They should face reality. There's no one to help them. We're just floating here by ourselves. Or there's so many varieties of that theory. One American president or a number of American presidents were called deists. They believe that God created the universe just like a big clock, and he wound the clock up, and then he went to take a nap. Now that the universe is just winding down, they don't think that God has any direct control over the affairs of the universe. He simply created everything and then disappeared somewhere. Went out for lunch, and now it's all taking place. But this contradicts other understandings that God is actually, he created the world from his own self, and then as he created it, this is called the Mayavadi theory, that God created the world, expanded himself, and then in his the world is God itself. That's the type of pantheism. Mayavadi theory says actually there is no world, that is simply a product of our illusion. There are no jiva souls. There is no God. It is simply our imagination. And then when we wake up, we find out that actually there's only Brahman, that there was no variety, there was no creation, there was nothing. But somehow or another, Brahman starts to dream, and when we wake up, then we find out that there was no real reality to what we were dreaming. Of course, this makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. but people want such a philosophy. Therefore, Krishna has sent such persons as Sankaracharya to give them some faith in this impersonal spirit. But here it says, Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, or it says in the Ishupanishad, Om Purnam Adaha Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachate, Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vishishate. That the Supreme Lord, He's so unlimited, He's complete, He's absolute. Therefore, although He expands universes, unlimited universes, still He remains exactly the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's not diminished or increased in the course of time. But although so many units are expanding from Him, He always remains the same. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma, He personally experienced that after stealing the cowherd boys and the calves, that Krishna expanded Himself into so many cowherd boys and calves, identical cowherd boys and calves as the ones that Brahma stole. Because Lord Brahma didn't really steal the cowherd boys and calves, because He's not powerful enough, but He stole an illusory cowherd forms of cowherd boys and calves, hid them in a cave for a year. But during that year, Krishna expanded Himself into the identical cowherd boys and calves and enacted pastimes in Vrindavan, in which the love for the residents of Vrindavan increased for their children, whether it be the calves or the cowherd boys, because now they had personally Krishna as their sons. And when Lord Brahma came back after one moment of His time, which happened to be a year of our time, He was very disturbed when He found out, especially, that all the cowherd boys and calves that who were now in the cave were still expanded everywhere, were still playing with Krishna in Vrindavan. But then when He came before Krishna, Krishna showed Him that actually all these cowherd boys and calves were all actually Vishnu forms. Each one of them had unlimited opulences, was in charge of so many universes, unlimited universes. They had being worshipped by so many Brahmas and Shivas and Indras and all living entities, from the most minute down to the most, the greatest. They're all circumambulating. They're complete with all samagrasya, Aishvayarasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yashusha, Sriyaha, Jnana Vairaga Yaschaiva, Shanam Bhaga Itinganaha. They had all wealth, they had all beauty, they had all strength, they had all knowledge, they had all fame, they had all renunciation, they had all these opulences. And Brahma, although He's created the universe and is so intelligent, His brain could not accommodate the unlimited opulence of Krishna, and began to get dizzy and bewildered. And then Krishna put His curtain of yogamaya over Brahma just so He could relax a little bit. Therefore, for us, we have a much tinier brain to conceive of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How He can simultaneously remain in everyone's heart is hard enough for us to conceive of. How He's in the heart of the little insect, as well as in the heart of Brahma, how He's simultaneously controlling everything in this universe, and not only in this universe, but in all the universes, it says that this universe is just like one little mustard seed in a whole big bag of mustard seeds. And that not only is He in everyone's, in all the hearts of all the living entities, and in the atoms controlling everything, but He knows everything that's ever happened. For instance, we can conceive something about how long this body lasts for. How long can our body last for? Maybe 100 years. Well, what about the lifetime of this country? How long has this country been in existence? Maybe a few hundred years. What about the lifetime of the planet? Maybe it's millions of years. What about the universe? It's billions of years. Well, what about 5 billion universes ago? So we can hardly remember where we left our keys. But if you ask Krishna where He was 5 billion lifetimes of Brahma, what was going on, He could tell you. He could tell you whatever. This atom was over here, and that one was over here. Therefore, it is the first platform is awe and reverence. So when we see Krishna playing as a cow, hear of Krishna playing as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, we don't think that, you know, poor Krishna, he lost his Vaikuntha planet, he came down here, and now he's just a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, herding cows because he wants some milk. But that unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead comes, and although he expands himself into so many different energies that we see around us, still he's not at all affected. This idea of that as God expands, he loses something is not agreed by. And Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, avyaktim vyaktim apanam manyate mama buddhaya parambhavam ajananto mamavyam anutama. That unintelligent men who know me not think that I've assumed this form and personality due to their small intelligence, small knowledge, they don't know my transcendental nature, my supreme, which is imperishable and supreme. Therefore, we have to become convinced that when we're dealing with Krishna, we're not dealing with an ordinary person. The conceptions that stop one from loving Krishna are generally the conceptions in relationship to Krishna, that Krishna is something material, and therefore, why should I serve something mundane? No one wants to really serve anything mundane. Therefore, if one thinks that God is actually ultimately material, just like we are, perishable and material, that is the absolute truth, then he won't be interested in devotional service. He'll think, what can I get from God? We'll do business. My dear God, give me this, and in return, I'll give you this, I'll give you a few praises, say that you're a nice person, and you just, you know, send me down what I want. You know, take care of the rent and pay off the car and protect me on the road so I don't get into any accidents and pay for my hospital bills and send my child to school. And if I'll praise you, I'll say, if you do it nicely, then we'll say he's a nice person. So this is materialism. The God is just, he has the same interests that we have. He needs, all he wants a little praise. Maybe once in a while, when he's hungry, his devotees offer him some food because he's working hard 24 hours a day. Therefore, he gets tired. So this conception means that one would not be very much interested in pure devotion. It's simply business. And the conception that God is actually impersonal, that if God is impersonal, then one fears one's spiritual identity. One thinks that the highest truth is to become impersonal just like he is. One thinks that there's nothing really going on in spiritual existence, but here in the material world, all these personalities and variegatedness, they're all causes of problems, and God is ultimately impersonal also, so let me just become one with him, impersonal. And the ultimate conclusion, the other, is that there is no God, there's no source of everything, everything came out of nothing, everything goes back into nothing, and the highest truth is nothing. Therefore, people lecture, as Prabhupada used to say, they come out of a lecture for 3 hours and they say, that was a wonderful lecture. He explained nothing so nicely. He was so enthusiastic explaining about nothing. So with these conceptions of life, generally all the impersonalist, materialistic philosophies and voidist philosophies, they all fit into these categories, then one will have no enthusiasm at all to worship Krishna or God. One will simply be left with, let me worship my tongue, my belly, my genitals, and let my mind, the source of all creative methods of worshiping my tongue, belly, and genitals, let it go on, let it roll on, speculating about all the various ways I can enjoy. So that becomes the only central focus of one's life. And any idea about God simply is to help inspire my creative service, my tongue, belly, and genitals. But this is not the conception given by the Bhagavatam. Krishna is described as an unlimited variegated person who has manifested himself in a very small particle as this cosmic creation. And whatever we can appreciate here is just a little. Krishna said, Taiva, Bhavanaitena, Kim Yatena Katwa Arjuna, Vishtavya Hamidam Kritsnam, Ekam Shena Stiko Sito Jagat. Whatever you see in the cosmic creation, you should know, is just sprung from Buddha spark of my splendor. So what is the need for all this knowledge, Arjuna? In other words, Krishna explains, I am the Mount Meru, I am the whale, I am the lion, I am Prahlad, I am Arjuna. But these are just a little insignificant spark of Krishna's splendor. Factually, he's everything. The whole cosmic manifestation is simply a little drop of his unlimited qualities. Therefore, it's said that the whole world is full of Krishna's singing, but everyone's interpreting it in different ways. That everyone's dancing with Krishna, but those who are trying to imitate Krishna, everyone's those who are dancing in harmony with Krishna, they're dancing with him personally. And those who are trying to imitate Krishna, trying to become Krishna, they simply dance with Krishna's illusory energy. Therefore, the conclusion is we should try to understand Krishna as he actually is from the pages of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Try to develop an appreciation first of Krishna's greatness, and then we'll be able to appreciate his supreme greatness of how he manifests himself and his more intimate pastimes in Vrindavan. If we can understand first how great Krishna is, then we can also understand his greatness and his intimate relationships with his devotees in Vrindavan. So the first 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam are devoted just to give us an idea of how Krishna has manifested different incarnations, displayed different energies within the material world, has come down as different incarnations, what is the process of understanding and developing a knowledge about him. And then when we get to the 10th canto, where the idea of loving Krishna spontaneously is displayed, then we'll be able to actually appreciate that without losing our real appreciation or our reverence for Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any questions?
Do you want all their arguments?
Well, very great souls, they accept it. Those who are not as great, they don't accept it. Because, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, klesho dikatrastesham, avyakta sakta chetasam, avyakta hi gitira dukam, dehavad viravapyate. Especially those who take the indirect approach towards realization of knowledge, they have to go through a process of gradually renouncing material attachment and cultivating knowledge. So gradually, by cultivating knowledge of our spiritual nature and becoming detached from material existence, by long practice of doing that, then one negates all personal relationships, he negates all variety, comes to simply meditate upon Brahman. So due to his long practice of doing that, becomes very hard for him to conceive that beyond Brahman there's a personality, since he spent so many millions of lifetimes trying to negate personality. Therefore, although he realizes Krishna's effulgence, it becomes very hard for him to appreciate that beyond that is Krishna as personality. Although the impersonalists, if they're actually impersonalists, they also believe that God's form is eternal, but they think it's subordinate to the impersonal Brahman. They think that, yes, Krishna has an eternal form, I also have an eternal form, everyone has an eternal form, but ultimately we all have to surrender to Brahman. Generally, we're aspiring to become devotees. Once we become devotees, then we can claim to be more advanced. But generally, the impersonalists, they have no taste for sense gratification. They're on the platform as Jamunacharya said, Yadavadi Mamachita Krishna Padara Vinde Nava Nava Rasa Damad Yudhyata Ratumasi. So they spit at the thought of sense gratification.
So if we're attached to sense gratification, we can't really claim that we're devotees. We're pure devotees. We're aspiring to become devotees. Therefore, although our path will ultimately lead us to pure devotion and take us beyond their level of realization and their current situation of detachment knowledge, but generally our level of detachment knowledge and realization is not on their same level as a perfected siddha who actually knows he's not his body, has realization of that. Anything else? Yes. Yeah, one devotee once said that. He said, when he went to India, he said that, I was wondering, the Prabhupada kept on talking about in his purports about all these Mayavadis. So he thought maybe, especially in the early days, he thought maybe that Mayavadis was a sect in India and Prabhupada had some grudge against them. And he was constantly deriding them and preaching against them. But then he realized one day that actually we're all Mayavadis. That we all have these Mayavadi conceptions. That's why we don't surrender to Krishna. That Mayavadi philosophy, impersonalist philosophy, voidist philosophy, materialistic philosophy, that's the philosophy that's more or less current in modern society, and it's just interwoven and mixed up in variety of ways. And it's called, you know, by different names. But that's the essence of it. Well, if you chant Krishna's name, but what does it mean to chant Krishna's name? Yeah, but when we hear it, to chant Krishna's name means his name, his form, his quality, his pastimes, his loving exchanges with his devotees. Just like if we talk about you, it doesn't mean just your name. It means that your form, your quality, your pastime, your activities, etc., your feelings, everything. So if Krishna is non-different from his name, we can't just say, well, I chanted his name. I had no, but when we actually chant his name, then we'll get realization or experience of so many things about Krishna. So until we actually, by chanting his name, actually experience his form, merge into an ocean of bliss, as Prahlad Maharaj said, by associating with Krishna, then we're not actually chanting the holy name. We're simply practicing so that one day we can actually chant the holy name. Therefore, chanting goes in three stages. Goes namaparad, namabhas, and shudanam. So we can chant shudanam, bhavanam, premnam. When we can chant in premnam, or even bhavanam, then we can go and join Krishna in his pastimes. But if we're chanting namaparad or namabhas, that's not it's not the pure name. It's just a little glimmer of the pure name. Is that all right? Yeah, if we practice trying, then we get a little boost at the time of death. Yeah. Unless Krishna really gives you a big boost. The devotees, they don't pray that necessarily they have to go and join Krishna in his pastimes. They pray that, let me at least come back and associate with the devotees and perform devotional service wherever my next birth is. Otherwise, it's either I go and join the pastimes or, you know, I quit. You know, or send me to heaven, let me enjoy for a while because this is too much. No, the devotee, he prays, let me come back and, you know, wherever you want to send me, at least let me be with the devotees and hear about your glories and perform devotional service to you. And if Krishna wants, then we can go and join, if we're qualified, and Krishna wants, then we can go and join him in his pastime somewhere. Anything else? Okay. Well, this is Krishna's pastime, but we're still trying to join him in this pastime. Yeah, we're trying to become absorbed in this pastime. This is generally the beginning, although this is Krishna's pastime, is we're being allowed to participate, but because of our material desires, therefore sometimes we're in this pastime and sometimes we're dreaming of other pastimes. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.